Okay, we are on the Mishnah, Chaf Hayim at base, on the bottom. Mishnah talks about a Bechor. A Bechor is a Korban. It's Hekdesh. Normally, Bizman Hazeh, we don't have any Hekdeshos, we're not Makdesh anything, and the issue wouldn't come up for any other Behema. But a Bechor is Kaddish on its own, and the Kedusha of the Bechor is such that what it requires is that on the one hand it's a matnas kahuna, and on the other hand, even the kohen has to treat it with the dinei hekdesh. And what that means is that while it's a behema tamima, while it's a bechor tam, it's treif as far as food is concerned because it's hekdesh. It would be shvutei chutz to shecht it outside the mikdash, and so you have to wait until it becomes a balmum. And with respect to other kachim, other korbanos, the balmum does not make it mutta. It just means that now you can be poda it, but bechor doesn't have that rule. So a bechor, as soon as it becomes humam, it becomes a balmum, then the bechor itself, the kedusha dissipates to only residual levels, where it only has very minimal restrictions, and no restrictions on the food aspect of the behema. So upshot of all of that is that if, let's say, you have a farmer has a bechor, and the rule is that the bechor is regular food once it gets a mum, but until it gets a mum, it's just it's treif with restrictions like hekdesh. So it says in the Mishnah, bechor shenafel lebor. Here you have a bechor, and then the issue, of course, being yontif. And it's very vague what's going on in the Mishnah, and we're going to see in the Gemara clarifies a bit about this. But we're going to... So the Bechor is Nafa Lebor. The Bechor falls into a ditch or something. And of course, falling into a ditch means a couple of things. Like you learned yesterday about the Behema, if the Behema is Mesukenas, that means that you're concerned this Behema is going to die. If it dies on its own, it's a big hefseh because it's just treif. But if you could shecht it first, then you can rescue some of it, even if you didn't need it for the food itself. And a similar kind of a thing going on here. Bechor shenafel lebor, the bechor falls into a ditch. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is going to be a machlokas here, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, every time you hear about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in this mesechta, the first thing you should be thinking about is muktzah. There's a kind of an ironic reversal going on here in this Mishnah. It says here, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yered Mumcha V'Yera, let the Mumcha go down, V'Yerem Yeshbo Mum, and check if it has a Mum. And incidentally, the rule of Bechor is that we said that it has to get a Mum in order for it to be shechted and be regular kosher food. But how do you determine that it has the Mum? So you need some specialists. Now the halacha is that the Mum either can be verified by a Yachid Mumcha or by a Beis Din. So it has in some ways some qualities of Beis Din to it. And so but that's a kind of derabbanan that you need to have this it has to be kind of certified Baal Mum before you get to use it. Your own expertise is not sufficient. So it says in Yeshbo Mum, what you do is that the behemoth is sitting there in the ditch. You can send down a mumcha to examine, see if it has a mum. And if you do discover that it has a mum, so then yala. So then take the behema out, the yishkot, and shecht it, and then fine. So that's food. The yimlav, and if you discover that it didn't have the mum, so then nothing. So then what? So then it's just regular korban again, it's treif right now, and there's nothing that you can do. You can't shecht it. So lo yishkot, so you can't shecht it.
Because it's mukhsa.
It's a little vague. Well, for one thing, when you say it's muktzah, as if muktzah because no, it's stray food. Yeah, because it's stray food. It's not food yet. It's just, right, so it'll be muktzah. So that's true.
If it was not a bechor,
right.
Take it out of
a regular animal that's regular food that you may not necessarily have been planning on eating, but the fact that it falls into this ditch, there's nothing to inspect or anything. And so you could take it out,
only if you want to.
If you're concerned that being down there, it may actually get into trouble down there, and maybe it'll die down there, or maybe it'll, I don't know, get some other kind of injuries or something down there. Maybe there's a Tsar Bali Chaim concern over there. We're going to see that comes up. So then you may have permission to take it out of the ditch, even if you don't actually end up shechting it. But in any case, yeah, if it's a regular behemoth with regular food, then you just, the issue is nothing. You just take it out, then you can shecht it if you want. Okay, well, we're going to see a little bit more of that in the Gemara. It's a little bit vague what Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is really all about, but then we're going to see by contrast. And then Rabbi Shimon, Omer in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, that's wrong. Kol she'ein mumoni kar mi ba'od yom, ein ze min ha'muchan. If the mum is not nikar from before Yantif, from the before Yantif started, ein ze min ha'muchan. It's not going to be min ha'muchan. Presumably it means you're not going to be allowed to do that. Not going to be allowed. So Rabbi Shimon is machmir in this case against Rabbi Yehuda. That's why he's saying it's a kind of an odd, unexpected reversal of the shitos here about an issue that seems to be about mukzah. So Rashi just tells us that you have to always be aware that Rabbi Yehuda does hold a mukzah, so anything Rabbi Yehuda is saying, it has to be with that in mind, which is why Rashi points out, this is obvious just from thinking about it, and the Gemara makes it clear that this is the case, is that this Bechor, when it falls into a ditch on Yantif, what was its status beforehand? Was it presumed to be Tam? And then the question is, does the fall into the ditch create the Mum? Is that what's going on here? And it sounds a little bit like that in the Mishnah.
Yeah,
but Rashi just says it's impossible. That can't be at all, because we are talking Rabbi Yehuda now. Rabbi Yehuda holds of Mukta, and if Betchila Sayoma was a Bechor Tam, nothing can happen to it during the day to make it Mutter. It's going to be Mukta just by virtue of the fact that it was a Tam Betchila Sayom. Rashi says you can't get anywhere if that's what you're assuming. It has to be that this Bechor was a Bechor She'already Humam. It already had a Mum from beforehand. So if it already had Bechor beforehand, so what's the whole issue? You didn't get around to having it certified. It wasn't certified as a Bal Mum yet. So the Mum it had already. The people may have already been aware that this was a Bal Mum, or expected it was going to be a Bal Mum. And then the only thing is that you're not allowed to act on that until you get the certification that it's a Bal Mum. And that's the thing. Now this behemoth falls into a ditch, and now like time is pressing, and that you need to get an expert in there. So the Gemara is going to say, well, hold on a minute. If that's what we're talking about, so then what exactly, why would somebody say not allowed to have them? What would be the obstacle? So let's take a look. The Gemara says, "B'maykam iflugi." What are they arguing about? What's Rabbi Yehuda saying that you're allowed to do, and Rabbi Shimon denying that you're allowed to do? Inema b'rowin mumin kam iflugi. So this is what it's going to be about. It's going to be about whether or not the Chazal forbade an expert from examining a Bechor Bal Mum and certifying it on Yantif. That Rabbi Yehuda is a Mekel. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar Rowan Mumim B'Yantif, and Rabbi Shimon Savar Ein Rowan Mumim B'Yantif. It doesn't have to do with Mukta or anything. It's just about this din of whether or not the Chazal forbade you from examining a Bechor Bal Mum. Why in the world would they have forbidden you from examining a Bechor Bal Mum? What's the Isser? Rashi tells you he has two suggestions, and these two suggestions remain throughout and remain quoted here even in Shulchan Aruch, which means it's not exactly clear exactly what they forbade it for, but the two suggestions Rashi presents are either it's because it's like misakein, because the behema, until it has the certification of the mamo, is still treif, and you can't shecht it yet, you can't eat it yet until you get the certification. So maybe it's like tikkun, and that's the Easter that they forbade, or nirika misakin. And the second possibility Rashi suggests over here is that maybe it's like maisa beis din kind of a thing. Just like you can't go to din, so then you can't also have the beis din come and examine the behema for mumin. Okay, one way or the other, that would be the possible reasons why the Chazal might have forbidden a re'iyas mumin of a bechor on Yantif itself. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow this. Rabbi Yehuda was allowing this. So it looks like from the Gemara it says that's what they're fighting about in the Mishnah. The Rabbi Yehuda allows the mumcha to go in and examine, and Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow it. So the Gemara says, hold on, if that's really all that this Mishnah is trying to present, then why do they have to throw the Bechor into a ditch? Why can't they just have the Bechor sitting there and then, you know, have a machlokas? Can you have the mamcha come over and examine? The Gemara says, relief, palgu b'roen mumen the alma. Why does Bechor shenaf falabor have to, why does it have to be an example of a Bechor shenaf falabor? Gemara says, no, Bechor shenaf falabor, yes, that is the machlokas. The machlokas in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, is about whether roen mumen b'yantif. But why did they give the example, why did they teach that case in the Mishnah using the falling in the ditch example? Is it Bechor shenaf falabor it's richalei, because salkatei techamina mishem tsar bali chayim, Liarim Vilaske. What made the Gemara was saying that, well, no, because it had to say the Bechor Shanafa Labor example because it was trying to make a different point also while presenting the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, about Rowan Mumin, is also making another point, which is that if it fell into the ditch, look at how Rabbi Yehuda says it. He says that if you can get the expert down into the ditch, take a look and examine whether it got a mum, then okay. But it doesn't permit you to just take it out and make the examination out and take it out one way or the other. That wasn't allowed. And the havamina that you might have had is that maybe you could take the behemoth out no matter what. And it even gives you as a precedent, maybe like Rabbi Yehoshua's shita, about taking out behemoth from a ditch that it falls into. Rabbi Yehoshua later on actually explains, holds, that in a situation where you have... The example that was given with Rabbi Yehoshua is that you have two behemoths fall into a ditch on Yontif and you can't shecht both of them. That's the case. You can't shecht both of them. So, but you're concerned still about the both of them being down there. So Rabbi Yehoshua allows you, for Tzar Bali Chaim reasons, to essentially pretend. You're allowed to take both of them out, and each one you take out, you can kind of pretend that that was done in order to shecht it. So you can, as long as you can make it seem that there's an ochel nefesh justification for this tsar bali chayim alleviation, then Rabbi Yeshua says, okay. So that's the key. Rabbi Yeshua holds that for tsar bali chayim, you're allowed to take the behemoth out of the ditch as long as you can make it seem that it's for ochel nefesh. That's Rabbi Yeshua's policy. That's called this form of harama that he permits. So you might have thought that that would be true here in the Bechor case, that it, like Rabbi Yeshua maybe would allow you to take the Bechor out. And we're being told, Kamash Malan, this Mishnah holds against it, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't permit you to take out the Behema, even on a kind of ostensible Ochel Nefesh grounds. You have to be Bodek the Behema inside the ditch. It's only if you discover that it's actually a Balmum, in which case then it's really food, and therefore it really is eligible to be Shechted, then you can actually take it out and Shecht it. But you don't have the blanket permission to take it out without first the inspection.
It's a little strange because we were talking in earlier, Gemara, that one of the reasons why you have to like select which one it is or put it aside is because we don't want you to do extra work on Yontif.
Yeah.
Like working to do something, and now you're hoisting it out. That's a lot more type of non-Yontif tikka work that you're able to do because I want to check that animal or because I want to see if that animal is shechtable or not. When we didn't want to do some easy malacha because it's yantif. So it's just a little strange.
Here. I'm not sure it was about easy malacha that other time. It might have been about other kinds of tirchas that are maybe not letzorech, because the tircha was going to be maybe on an animal that you, on closer examination, you wouldn't actually be interested in using. And so when you can anticipate that that's probably going to happen, then we insist that you first designate. But in this case, they didn't make it for behemoths like this. You don't have to have that first initial inspection from before Yontif. But now I hear what you're saying. Sometimes some of these principles are good in theory, and then they seem to apply somewhat inconsistently in practice. But in any case, the Gemara says over here, Ihachi, hold on a second. That can't possibly be what's going on in the Mishnah. Ihachi lo yishchot. So then look at the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's wording is, if this is really the way you want to read the Mishnah, that the machlokas is, can you be roa the mum? And really what's going on is that this was a behemoth that had a mum from before Yontif, or at least a supposed mum. And then you had the expert come in, and he's supposed to inspect. And then if he finds the mum, then you can take it out. And if he doesn't find the mum, then what would you say? Then presumably it's So then don't take it out. Leave it in. But that's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, look back at the top line of Mishnah. Yesh bo mum, yalav yishchot. V'yim lav. And if you don't find a mum, look what it says. It says lo yishchot. That's not the verb that it should have used. It is yet don't take it out.
So you can take it out, but you can't trust it.
So that can't be what's going on. Yihachi lo yishchot. Lo yalev yishchot mi ba'ilei. It should have said, don't take it out. Don't pick, take it out of there. Mar says, lo tzricha di avar v'yaske. Okay, yes. We're still back to the machlokas is roen mumin v'yantif. We presented the case in order to show Rabbi Yehuda's shita that you can't take it out without permission. Meaning you can't just use the kind of harama grounds of Rabbi Yehoshua to take out the behema. But then there's another point being made here, which is, and even if you did take out the behema, you still have no permission to shecht. And that's what it means. It says that, and even if it's out already, lo yishchot. Mar says, wait a minute, but that's talking about when you discover that it did not have a mum. That's a tam. That's a b'chor tam. Mar says, what? Lo tzricha di avar v'yaske. Okay, where the case is that you already took it out. That's why it says lo yishchot. But yeah, obviously it really meant in the regular cases lo ya'aleh. But the Mishnah is saying, and even if you took it out, lo yishchot. And salkadaita chamina li shachtei, and I might have had a havamina to shecht, this behema, once I already took it out, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? This is within the scenario that you didn't have the mum. Li shachtei hatamu. No, if it's a tam, then there's no permission to shecht anyway. Not only because it would be an iser of shchutei chutz, presumably, to shecht, but also because it's not going to be kosher, it's not going to be food. So that can't be what's going on. Mar says, oh, yeah. Lo tzricha, okay, it's a different thing. Lo tzricha denafal be'muma. Now, we're talking about that it actually got the mum. So now it is a bal mum at this point, just that it got the mum now. Nafal be'muma now. Mar says, well, hold on a minute. If it got the mum now, then that's muktza. The muktzahu. Okay, change. Okay, ela denafal be'mum over me'erev yantif. Alright, so what's going on is this. You know what, when a behema is hekdesh, you can only bring it as a korban when it's a tam. But if it has a mum, no good. And even if the mum is a mum over, which means a temporary mum, that is going to heal, while it has the mum, you can't bring it. When it heals, then you can bring it. But a bechor doesn't become non-bechor on the basis of a mum over. It has to be a mum kavua. But, you know, at the time, it looked like it got a mum, and they weren't sure, you know, it got a mum that was really over. So here's what happens. So this is what the Gemara is now saying is the case. Okay, all of this is happening in the Mishnah. That's why Mishnayos are always coded messages. You can't really figure out what's going on in Mishnayos straight without all of these kinds of clarifications. The Mishnah is presenting machlokas about whether roen mumin beyantif. Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon. And it's the odd reversal that Rabbi Shimon is machmir on this, and Rabbi Yehuda is mekel on this. And the Mishnah is presenting this case about the Bechor Shenafal Labor because it makes a number of side points. It's making the point, first of all, and the case is that this Bechor was a Bechor that had the mum already, and just you didn't have a chance to certify it from the mumcha or the beis din. And so the side points are that if the bechor falls into a ditch, you're not allowed to use Rabbi Yehoshua's kula, and that even if you took it out, you're not allowed to shecht it. Well, wait a minute. If you took it out, you're not allowed to shecht it. You are allowed if it has the mum. So it must be that it didn't have the mum. Well, if it didn't have the mum, so then you can't, then there wouldn't be any reason to shecht it either. Mar says, no, what if it, let's say, had a mum over, actually, by the time Yontif began? People were expecting, so it's not muktzah in the sense that people had expected it to not be usable. They expected that it was going to have a mum. It turns out that it really wasn't a mum kavua, it was a mum over. Mum over is not enough. A temporary mum is not enough to make the behema kosher. But then it falls into the ditch and gets a mum kavua, and the expert certifies that. And so now we're being told, okay, then at least there's a havamina you should shecht it, kamash malon, you're not allowed. Okay, that all of that is what's going on in Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. And Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah doesn't permit the whole Re'ias Mumin in the first place. doesn't allow you to have any experts going to verify the behema, and there's nothing you can do. And we're going to discover, what about the B'dievet case, according to Rabbi Shimon? So we're going to see. Anyway, that's what the Gemara says, that we're talking about that it had a mum over all along, gets a mum kavua. Now, mahu the same under daite ilave yoneshachte. I would have thought that maybe now that he thought that it had a mum, that it's not mokza, and now it actually does have a mum, so now you should have, all the problems have been resolved. So Kamash Malan, the Mishnah says, not allowed. Not so clear exactly why not. That sounds like a good enough argument that it really should be allowed. It's not that clear why you're not allowed. Rashi gives you two pshatim over here. So then why can't you? Rashi gives you possibility is either as a knas. Maybe it's a knas because you violated too many of these things by taking out the behema without permission. Or maybe because it doesn't count as muhan. Maybe it counts maybe that doesn't count as muhan on the grounds of a mum over. So okay, two pshatim here, Rashi. In any case, two dots, Tana Rabbanan. Now we have a braisa, which unfortunately for us has a girsa question on it that really matters as to how you're going to read this and how you're going to explain it and proceed. So let's just use the one that it has over here, the one that Rashi presents first. Tana Rabbanan Bechor Tam Shenafa Labor. If we stopped right here, we should on our own say, well, okay, if it's a Bechor Tam, which means that we know that there's no mum, and it falls into the ditch, and now what's the question? What's the question? There should be no possibility that you could be able to eat this behema ever under any conditions, because it's going to be totally muktzah, because it's a yom, it's muktzah. So Rashi right away says, okay, well now we're assuming that there's no muktzah. Ein muktzah. Now we're not following the Rabbi Yehuda who holds muktzah. Now we're going to follow the broader shita of ein muktzah. So the fact that something is not ra'ui liachila yet should not preclude that possibility that it may become ra'ui liachila on the day and then it may be actually become mutter. So you have Tana Rabbana Bechor Tam Shanafa Labor Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer Yered Mam Chavira Em Yesh Ba Mam Yala V'Yishchot V'Yem Lav Lo Yishchot. Is that suspiciously familiar, all of those words in that braisa? Then the same words in the Mishnah. And it's the same Rabbi Yehuda. This is not the same person, however. This is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. In the Mishnah, Rashi makes this point over here. The Mishnah is just regular Rabbi Yehuda. Regular Rabbi Yehuda is a different guy. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, different Tana. This is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rashi is saying this Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi must be Rabbi. This is Rabbi. Rabbi must be assuming Ein Muktzah. We've already encountered Rebbe's shita about muktza a little bit in the first daf of the Masechta, and we're going to encounter him later on. It's going to become a whole question what Rebbe's shita is with respect to muktza, but it appears at this moment anyway that in this braisa he's presented as holding ein muktza, and Rebbe is saying that yeah, even if it's a bechor tam shenafa labor yered mumche v'yira, let him go down and take a look, and if it has the mum kavua, then fine, then shech, then if not, then not. And Amar lo Rabbi Shimon ben Benasya, Rabbi Shimon ben Benasya, and here's another Rabbi Shimon. Another Rabbi Shimon. This is so interesting. This is Rabbi Shimon, a different Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who's the regular Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon ben Benasya. Harei Amru ein roen mumen b'yantif. Harei Amru ein roen mumen b'yantif. You can't see, you can't look at mumen b'yantif, they forbade it. So anyway, Rashi is quoting that Rabbi Shimon Menasya was saying that the previous Doros were holding that you can't be Roa Mumin B'yantif. And so how can you allow this? So the Gemara says, well, Keitza. Well, let's examine the case. And this is all, I think it's all part of that Braisa. All part of that Braisa. No Lebo Mum Mei Erev Yantif. Let's examine. What happens if the mum was from before Yantif? Then ein mevakrin oso. Ein mevakrin oso. You're not allowed to have the mumcha come and examine. If it's b'yom tov. No, I read it wrong. No lebom mei of Yantif, ein mevakrin oso b'yantif. You're not allowed to have the expert come and do the check and inspect for the mum on Yantif. What if it's no lebom mum, next page, b'yantif? But if the mum happens on Yontif, then Rabbi Shimon Omer Ein Ze Min HaMuchan. Okay, this is case two. Case two was if the mum happens on Yontif, Rabbi Shimon says Ein Ze Min HaMuchan. A little bit vague, but we're going to clarify a little bit what's going on here in this braisa. V'shavin, and a third case is She'im Nolad, that they both agree, Rabbi Shimon and this anonymous first Tana, is holding She'im Nolad Hu'u Mumawimo Shezem Mina Muchan, that if the Bechor that we're talking about was just a just-born calf that was born with the Mum, so then, fine. So then they both agree that that is Min HaMuchan, and that's Mutter. So let's stop right there for a minute and just try to clarify what in the world was just happening here in this Braisa. The Braisa was giving three cases of situations of when the Bechor has a Mum. The Mum was before Yantif, the Mum was on Yantif, and the Mum was together with the Leida, was coincident with its Leida. Now, the rule of the Leida of the Bechor is that it doesn't have Kedusha until it's born, until the Bechor is born. And when it's born, when it normally would become Hekdesh with the full restrictions, but it has a Mum. So it never got to that stage. And so it kind of passes from being not yet born, and therefore subject to the status of the mother, to being already kosher. So that's the third case that this Braisa says. And the Braisa says, well, in case one, the rule is you're not allowed to go and inspect it. Case two is it's not Min HaMuchan, and it's not clear how that's different from the first case. We're going to clarify that in the Gemara. And the third one is that it's Mutter. It's Min HaMuchan. Let's take a look. Darash Rabba Barav Huna. Okay, Rabba Barav Huna. Incidentally, as far as that first Braisa goes, that first Braisa we may come back to later on in the Gemara. But in any case, that Braisa was just, I don't know, it was just presenting these three different scenarios of when a Mum happens according to this presentation of these Tanayim. But let's see how the Gemara plays out. Darash Rabba Barav Huna. And it, just incidentally, if you're following along, on Amud Beis, there's no Tosfos, so the Rashi is on the right side. So Darash Rabba Barav Huna. Rabba Barav Huna, the Amora presents the following policy. If Nolad Hu Umumo Imo, then Mevakrin Oso Biyantif Lechatchila. Rabba Barav Huna, the Amora was saying that if the Bechor is born with the Mum, then Mevakrin Oso Biyantif Lechatchila. You're allowed even Lechatchila to go and ask the expert, the mumcha, or the beis din to come and look at it. Now, okay, this is presuming that you're allowed to be roa mumin, and it's also presuming that therefore that you're allowed to do this even lechatchila, and there's no concern of muktzar muchan.
When was the animal born?
On Yantif itself.
But then it's a different issue.
Well, what's the issue? No. If a behemoth is nolad on Yantif, we consider it to be muchan agav imo. Because you could have shechted the mother, and then the
like an
animal inside. It's not like
an
egg. Right? It's not like that.
Why? Because if you shechted
the
behemoth,
you could have
eaten the egg.
That what?
But if you shechted that chicken, you could have eaten the egg. On Yantif. So why do we say by an egg you can't?
Yeah, I think we said something about how it's not edible. That's worse than the behemoth because of the way the eggs are. You can't. It says you're allowed to. It says you're. What on that Zion? It says you're allowed to eat the eggs that were kind of still clustered or in formation or something
right,
inside the animal.
But
once they get to a different stage.
Okay, so the same with this animal. While it's in the mother, if you shechted the mother, you could have eaten the animal. But if it came out on Yantif, it should be nola the same way the egg. You can't eat the animal either.
No, the egg we're talking about, the egg that developed outside of the animal over time. So now there's already a chicken in it.
No, I'm talking about just that a plain egg. Well, I don't know about the chicken.
First
plain egg.
I'm talking about an unfertilized egg.
Yeah, regular egg.
The egg that when it comes out.
You want to eat the egg,
fried
egg, you know,
scrambled eggs. Yeah. No, I don't know. The Gemara just says that a behema is muchan agav imo b'shita. The egg thing, I don't know what to tell you. It's not muchan. I think the Gemara says that if it's a tarnagolos or medes legato beitzim, then it's not muchan, because you're not shechting that. That's not food. The chicken is a machine. So if it were a tarnagolos or medes liachila, then that's food. So then okay. So then yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was what was going on. But in any case, the Rabbi Baruchuna says that this is mutar lechatchila. That if it's nolad with a mum, mevakrin also b'yantif lechatchila. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says to him, what are you talking about? Abba, tani, im avaru bikra mevukar, v'at amrit mevakrin also lechatchila. Rav Nachman says, but my dad taught in Ebraisa, im avaru bikra mevukar. He doesn't present it that you can have the Dayanim check. He presents it as if they did check, and if they did certify it as a mum, so fine, but you're not allowed lechatchila. V'yat amrit, and you're going to tell people you can do it lechatchila? You can invite the Dayan over to look at the Bechor to see if it has a mum? Okay, anyway, that's the machlokas. Machlokas, whether or not this din, that the nolad with a mum, it says nolad with a mum, then it's not muktzah. But whether or not you're allowed to lechatchila have the dayan come take a look at it, so that's the machlokas here. These amoraim, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna against Rav Nachman. What do they hold, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and Rav Nachman? What do they hold about that general din of roin mumin biyantif? I don't know. Presumably, it could be that that's exactly the machlokas. Isn't that exactly the machlokas? Whether Rowan Mumin Biyantif. Isn't that the case? It looks like that's what they're fighting about. I don't know. Gotta look into that. I think that's what it may just be that. Shama'ina, Garcina Chachami, Armizamina, Mochana, Fiolamit, Shaman, Shamina, Lay, and Rowan Mumin. Well, let's see. I don't know. Anyway, this is the Machlokas Amar. Now, Amar Abaye says, well, how does this relate to the brisis that we just read? Amar Abaye, Kavase de Rabba Bar Rav Huna Mistavra. I think that Rabba Bar Rav Huna, the one who says the Mutta Lachatchila, sounds right. Midikatani Talasa Bavi. Because in the fact that the brisa presents it as three distinct cases. What are the cases? The Mum Erev Yantif, the Mum An Yantif, and the born with a Mum. Was the third case, right? That's the way it's presented in the brayse on the top of the page. So, look what it says. It says, "Nolad b'mum may erev yantiv." How do you read the brayse? "Nolad b'mum may erev yantiv." If the mum happened in the behema before yantiv started, "Ein mevakrin aso b'yantiv lechatchila hu delo hadiyevet shaper dami." It says you're not allowed to go and tell the and have this inspected on yantiv. So it seems from the first case, that if the mum happened actually on Erev Yantif, it really did have a mum. And it's going to, when it's certified as a Baal Mum, then that will be as of prior to Yantif. And so the question is only, can you have the certification being done or not? But if it's done, lechatchila, you're not allowed to. But if it was done, so then the behem is muchan and is kosher. That would be scenario one. Scenario two is that if it had the mum on Yantif itself, it means betchilas hayom, it was the tam. What if nolad bo mum biyom tov? But if it's nolad bo mum biyom tov, that's scenario two. Then Rabbi Shimon Omer ainz min amuchan afilu b'diyevin amilo. Then Rabbi Shimon is saying, so, but if the mum happens on yantiv, then no good. Then even b'diyevin nami lo. Now this is even Rabbi Shimon talking, incidentally. So Rabbi Rashi just points out here, well, okay, even though normally Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah, it must be he's more machmer over here for some reason. But in any case, the v'haratani, and then the third case is Bishavin Hashem Nola Bimumo, that if it was born with the mum, Shazemina Muchan, that must be Afila Lechatchila Nami. That must be that even Lechatchila, that you're allowed to go and have it inspected. Okay, so wait a second. So that means that even if you hold that Ein Rowan Mumin for scenario one, but in this case where it's Nolad Bimumo, that is permissible. That's what it looks like. And as to why, I don't know why. So, but at least that should support, if this is the reading of the Braisa, then it'll support the first Amora's claim that it's mutter lechatchila to check a mum if the behema is born with a congenital mum. The haki asa Rav Oshia asa v'aisi masnisa biyade ben shano led ba'amum be'er v'yantuf ben shano ba'amum b'yantuf chachami om remezim min amuchan. Well, hold on a second. This whole Braisa goes against a different Braisa that Rav Oshia comes and he brings with him in his hand, which refers to Rav Oshia was coming from there to here. Rav Oshia, I assume this Rav Oshia was coming from Israel to Bavel. He's still called Rav Oshia, not Rebbe Oshia, because he must have left Eretz Yisrael before getting Smicha. And so he brings a Braisa, in the sense that he's quoting this Braisa. And the Braisa reads that Bein Shanoled Me Erev Yantif, Bein Shanoled Be Yom Tov, this is Asur Lechatchila, and it's only B'di'evid that Chachamim Omrim, Chachamim namely Rabbi Shimon Omer Ein Zeh Min HaMuchan, even B'di'evid, is that the point? Even B'di'evid. Right, so because Ein Rowan. And therefore, what would be the third one? The third one would be, if it's nolad with a mum, there's no implication that that be mutter lechatchila. That may only be mutter b'di'evid. So the whole argument that Abaye said was that if you read the Braisa as three separate rulings, the ruling number three would have to be mutter lechatchila. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been treated as a separate scenario, because it would have just been part of the same ruling as one of the other two. This version of the Braisa has that whether it was nolad mum may erev yantif or b'yantif, it's ein zeh min hamuchan b'di'evid. You're not going to be allowed to shechted even b'di'evid. The thing is that, but if it's nolad im mumo, then it's different, and therefore, then what is different? But you don't necessarily know it's mutter lechatchila. It could be that it's also lechatchila mutter b'di'evid. So that's his argument. That's what the Gemara says. It says that so according to this Braisa, you have no proof that it's mutter lechatchila. So then the Gemara says, well, hold on a minute. Then what do you do with the other Braisa? Elakasha ha'ach. So what do you do with our Braisa? Gemara says, and it does something a little funny over here. It has to actually disqualify our Braisa as being corrupt. Ha'hi adavar uch mihi demishabish v'tani. There's no real evidence that this is the case. But it's just, sometimes when it finds a Braisa that just is directly against a different Braisa, it really has no way out. Sometimes it has a way out, and it can give you chilukim that we know based on other places that those chilukim are significant. And sometimes it can assign them to different speakers. So it can say this Braisa is quoting this Shita, and that was from another Shita, if you know that there are other Shitas out there. But sometimes you just pressed up against the wall, you have no recourse to either of those resolutions, in which case you just have to concede that one of them is just wrong. So one of them is a corrupt misora.
So why did Rav Ashi include it in any more then?
Well, you know, that kind of editorial question, I don't know. It very possibly has to do with the fact that being told that this Braisa exists but is corrupt is a more informative way of dealing with the existence of a corrupt Braisa rather than suppressing it, because if people out there are still quoting it, you don't know what to do with it. So if it's just not addressed,
to quote it and say it's not good.
Right. It's better to do that, because then you're at least aware that it exists, but it's mishtabish. I don't know. Like in any case, that's the way it remains as it happens. And then Amar Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak Masnisa Nami Deka. And Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak now says, and you know what? This actually seems to be the case just from reading our Mishnah. The Katani Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol She'ein Mumo Nikar Me'erev Yom Tov Ein Zeh Min HaMuchan. Because if you read the Mishnah quotes the Rabbi Shimon's line, and the Mishnah was that, and we know what he's saying. He was presumably saying that you're not allowed to be Roam Umin, but even B'di'evit. So what is the wording? It says Kol She'ein Mumo Nikar Me'erev Yom Tov Ein Zeh Min HaMuchan. Any case where the behemah's mum was not nikar, and presumably it means, well, let's see. My ain mumo nikar, ilema ain mumo nikar klal. What did Rabbi Shimon mean? It means if you didn't know there was a mum on Erev Yantif, so pshita. So obviously that's going to be muktzah. There's no mum. It's tam. Mara says, no, lo tzricha No, it's very clear that what's going on in the Mishnah is that it had the mum already. And just Rabbi Shimon was saying, is it been a mukhan if you didn't have it certified by the Chacham? Right? Lo is chazi l'chacham erev yantif imam kavua ho imam over. So fine. And nevertheless, that's the case. And nevertheless, what did it say as a ruling? Katani miyas ein zeh min hamuchan. So shma mina, the ein zeh min hamuchan refers to a case where the mum happened even on the pre-yantif mum. Even on the pre-yantif mum. And so once that's the case, then that lends support to this b'raisa from Reb Oshia, that whether it's a pre-yantif mum or an on-yantif mum, ein zeh min hamuchan is Rabbi Shimon's description. We're paskening like Rabbi Shimon on this case, on this point, lechumra, and fine. And then we kind of throw out the first price on the top, and then the case of the Bechor Shenolad, the Bechor Shenolad case is going to come up. We still have more to say about the Bechor Shenolad case coming down here, so we'll talk about that then. Okay. Yeah, let's take a look. The Gemara now has a new discussion about something. Oh, was any loose ends here on this previous business? On the previous business, yeah. All right. It looks like we are going lechumra, incidentally, on that whole issue of the bechor shenaf al bor, like Rabbi Shimon. Okay. In any case, let's take a look. The Gemara raises a new question that's going to relate to this brisa earlier about the nolad. Umumo imo. It says here, by mine Hillel, or Rav Hillel, this is an Amora, may Rava, okay, this Rav Hillel, or Hillel was asking Rav a question, yesh mukta l'chatzi yashabas, away mukta l'chatzi yashabas. Is there such a principle as mukta for half a day of Shabbos, or not? Now, before you go on, Rashi and Tosfos over here, both, and everybody on the page, they all point out, this is very similar to a similar discussion that comes up in Maseches Shabbos that uses exactly the same words. Yesh mukta l'chatzi yashabbos or ein mukta l'chatzi yashabbos. And over there, the case is, what if I have an object that b'tchilas hayom is mukhan? And in the middle of the day, something happens and it becomes mukta. But then that stops happening, or that changes, and it goes back to being like what it was originally, mukhan again. Question is, did the fact that it was temporarily mukta, does that kind of imbue a kind of a permanent status for the rest of Shabbos, like the same way that it does do for migud iskatzai benishmashos, iskatzai kol hayom? If benishmashos it was mukta, then it's mukta kol hayom, even if it would have been able to become mukhan later on in the day because of migud iskatzai. So whether or not that rule applies at any point later during Shabbos, that was a question in the Gemara Shabbos. And the maskana is, ain mukta l'chatzi yashabbos. So you don't have that rule. That if it was temporarily mukta, but then that reason for haktzah disappears, then it goes back to being mukhan. That's the rule there. And what's happening over here, Rashi points this out, not Rashi, Tosis points this out over here, and then Rebbe Akiva Eger on the side points this out, is that this is a different question. This is a question about whether that's also true for food. It's a little bit different. So whether or not for things that you're going to eat, which require hachana also, does that also have a status of ein mukta l'chatzi Shabbos for food purposes also, for eating purposes, like Rashi says on the bottom line over here, based on, you know, the hachana rule, or not? So let's take a look. The Gemara says, b'aminei yirhil ne'rava, yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, so ein mukta l'chatzi Shabbos. Heichi dami. Well, it goes through exactly the same argument that I just presented before about what the other sugi was dealing with also. What are we talking about? We're talking about a case where you had some food that was roi benesh mashos, so then fine, so ichazi. Then it's roi. The word ichazi is the same as roi. The shorish of roe, ra'a, and chazon, chose, are all kind of interrelated. So roi and chazi is all the same term. Either chazi benesh mashos ichazi, so it should be roi. Either lo ichazi. I mean, what kind of a question is that about chatzi Shabbos? It should all depend on tchilas hayom. The Gemara says, "Well, no, let's richa di chazi. We're talking about a case where it was roi. The harder idchi, and then sometime during Shabbos it became not roi anymore. The harder ichazi, and then it later became roi again. So my, what's the din? Amalei." Okay, so before we go on, just so that you should be aware, heads up, we're about to go through about 6 or 7 or 8 lines or whatever of discussion, and then the Gemara is going to say, Ikad the Amri, like it often does. It says, some present everything that we just said in from the opposite direction, and it comes to, anyway, the same conclusion, but the point being, not necessarily the same conclusion, but the point being that we're going to have a statement being made by the Amora. We're going to try to prove it from the Tana, and then we're going to try to show that that doesn't prove anything. That's what's going to happen in two different ways. One way has it that the Amora ruled A, and then it goes through. The other one has it ruled the Amora ruled not A, and then it goes through the conclusion to get to the end. But just this is what's coming up. So in the first presentation of the rule, we are told that Rava answered him, Yesh Motze Lachatzi Shabbos. And then we attack him, Ezeve, but hold on a minute. Do you realize that the schematic of what you just described, Roi, and then temporarily Idchi, and then temporarily Roi again, that's exactly what we encountered earlier now with respect to the Bechor Tam, She Nolad Imumo. Okay, why is that the same case as that? Well, let's take a look. Esavei. So the Gemara, or Hillel, somebody attacks him with this Braisa. He says, but what do you do with this Braisa? It says, Shavin, everybody agrees, She'im nolad umumo imo, that if the Bechor is born with a mum, Shazem min amuchan, that this is kosher. V'yamai, but why should it be kosher? Nema, the following. We should say this. Hai Bechor, Meikara Havachazi Agavime. Before it was born, it was Roi. By being Roi Agavimo, because he could have shecht the mother, the behemoth of a keres, and then he could eat the Bechor, because it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor yet. It's Yalidle, but once it's born and has Kedusha, then Idchile. But even though it had a mum, but until you get the certification from the Chacham, it's not yet kosher. And then Ichazi Lachacham Ishtarili. And you show it to the Chacham, then it goes back to the Mutter. And then what do we know about that rule? So we know that it's kosher. Whether it was kosher and Mutter to show it to him in the first place or not, the point is that everybody's agreeing that it's kosher. Amar Abaye, the Tamer of Safra, well, no. That's not necessarily what's happening there, because here's how you could explain what was going on in that Braisa. Maybe when it was born, there is a Mumcha and Dayanim right there watching this birth happening. And they're on site. And they're able to paskin on it right before it's, right as it's being born, before it's fully born. The Dayanim can see, oh, it already has a mum. We already certified that it's a bal mum, and therefore it never had that middle nidches step, even momentarily. So that's, and Rashi, incidentally, I think Rashi over here, incidentally, tells you, and don't be so shocked or so ready to disbelieve that scenario that you'll, oh, come on. What do you mean? Like there are Dayanim that are just standing around in the farm? There? No, he says no, because that was typical. Because you know when a behemoth is giving birth to an animal that's a Bechor, or at least potentially a Bechor, and you know that it's going to matter whether it has them. You know to be prepared for that event.
Well, how long is the labor for these animals?
Is it like
a person where you can go into labor, like 24, like 48 hours?
I don't know what to tell you.
No.
It's reasonable enough that it was something you could have had them come on site and be
on. No, because
on,
if the labor of an animal is longer than a person, so they have 2 to 3 days to go and get the dionym there. But if it's a couple of hours, it's like,
well,
how would you know when the animal's giving birth on this day?
That part you can tell. You know, if you're a farmer, it would be obvious.
When the animal
so,
out, never again, you know it's time to go get the rope.
Could it be that the Mumchins were the farmers? Like that they were
no.
The farmers as the Mumchins?
No, because yeah, anything's possible. But it wasn't like that was the case. Anyway, Omar Abaye, the Tamer of Safra, could go into Yasvi Dayani Hasam. Abaye says no, or Sarah is saying no, that's not the case. The cases that we're talking about the Dayanim were there, and therefore there was no middle stage. Ika the Amri. Others present this whole thing that we just did backwards, meaning backwards as if Rava answered the opposite ruling. Ika the Amri. Amrle ein Mukta Lachatzi Shabbos. That when Rava was asked about this, he said that there's no rule of Mukta Lachatzi Shabbos, even with respect to eating the food, the Hachana of the food. Incidentally, that would make this the second lashon of the Gemara. There's a policy a lot of Rishonim have that when the Gemara presents the same issue twice, it wants you to understand the second one is more authoritative. And so this would then be the Lishna Basra of this point, and it would mean that lehalacha ein motzei lechatzias Shabbos. It's unclear in the Shulchan Aruch which way we're going to hold on this point. In any case, Amar le ein motzei lechatzias Shabbos. Leima misayeya le v'shavin sheim no let. Now it's no longer a kasha. Now it's a siyua. Hey, that sounds just like what you get from the ruling on the Brisa about the nolad umuma, where you have temporary dechia, but we're being told that it's kosher once it becomes paskind, that it's a balmum. The shavin sheim nolad umuma imosh is emin amufan. The bechor meikar ahav a chazi agav ime and it's yadale idafile. So you see that it sounds like it's a siyua to what you just said, Rava. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, not so fast. The Yitamer of Safra, not so fast. You go on the Yasvi Dayani Hasa. Maybe we're talking about Dayanim are there, and it never goes through that middle stage. But if it had gone through the middle stage, maybe it actually would have been treif. So it wouldn't be a proof to what Rava said. Rava said what he said anyway. Well, we're just not sure which one. The Lishna Kama had him saying that it's us, the Lishna Basa saying that it's Mutter. Tashma. All right, once the question is raised, let's start trying to resolve the question using other sources. Tashma. Aya ochel b'yanavim. Okay, it's a new braisa. We're going to try to resolve that question about the Mutzel Lechatzi Shabbos. Remember, Mutzel Lechatzi Shabbos, that at B'tchilas Hayom it was Mukhan. At some time during Shabbos, it becomes temporarily Mukhtza, or at least something happens that would make it Mukhtza, and then that ceases to happen, or that changes back to being Mukhan. The question is whether it becomes kosher when it becomes re-muchan again. That's the question. So now we're going to try to prove it from other examples, other braises. Tashma haya ochel b'yanavim. Okay, this is talking about, I don't know if there's a Mishnah or braise. Haya ochel b'yanavim v'hosir. Person was eating grapes, and he had leftover grapes. Well, it's unclear when this is going on. It's going to become clearer that this is actually not on Shabbos. This is going to be on Friday. Haya ochel b'yanavim v'hosir v'he'alon l'gagla sos me'im tzimukim. So he's taking the grapes, the leftover grapes. Now, I don't really know exactly the incentive. Maybe it's because grapes are much more likely to spoil and get ruined, that if you can somehow or other dry them out, it'll preserve the raisins for longer. So maybe that's why they would typically make raisins, I guess. I don't know. But that's why, in any case, I'm eating grapes, and I had leftover grapes, and I want to bring them to the roof to dry them out to make raisins. Or, in case you couldn't figure out this is the same thing, to Einim, I'm eating figs, and I had some leftovers, and I bring them to the roof to dry them out in order to make dried figs. Lo yochel mehem ad sheyazmin, mi ba'od yom. You're not allowed to eat these raisins unless you were mazmin, mi ba'od yom. Unless you declared your intent on Erev. This is not talking about Erev Shabbos or Erev Yantif. Dechen ata motzi v'yafars skin and chavushin, other fruit, bishar kol mini peros. Okay, that's what it says in this brisa or mishnah. The Gemara now says, well, hey chidami. This is all the stam Gemara trying to prove, you know, the muktzeh l'chatzi Shabbos issue one way or the other. Hey chidami, id chazu. What are we talking about? We're talking about that they had already become raisins by the time Shabbos started. So then lama le'yazmana. You don't need to say, you declare your intent to eat them. Either lo chazu. And if we're talking about that these things were not roi, they didn't turn into raisins yet, then kiasmin luhumai heavy. Then who cares that you can declare your intent? You can declare your intent all you want. Rashi points out here on the top left now, in the middle of the left, that you can't just decide, I'm going to use this rock, I'm going to eat these branches. You can't take non-food items and declare you're going to eat them, and then that poof, that's going to make them mochan. So either lo chazu kiasmin luhu mayevi. Okay, so there's no. So what anyway is going on there? V'chitema delo yada. So then the Gemara here is now saying, well, maybe you're saying to yourself, well, we're talking about, and Rashi paints the picture in detail. Let's say you don't want to go check whether they've reached the stage where they've become raisins now or not yet, and so you just kind of issue a statement: if they're raisins, then I intend to eat them. The Gemara says, no, that can't be the case either. Either lo chazu ki yasmin luhumai. Okay, v'chi teima de lo yada yichazu ilo chazu. And that's why you have to declare your intent to eat them. V'ho'ama Rav Kahana muktzah sheyavesh v'ina b'ayla makirim bo mutter. No, but Rav Kahana said that you don't have to know b'tchilas hayom if it has already reached the stage where it was mukhan. Because you're putting there to be mukhan. So if it became mukhan, even if you didn't know about it, it'll be mutter for you to eat them on Shabbos. So you don't have to make any declarations. Mar says, Elalab de chazu v'idacha v'hara v'chazu. So it must be what's going on is this. It must be what's going on is that it was still grapes when you put them up there, and Tchila Sayom was grapes, and then it later became Nifsal, and then it later became raisins, and that's what we're being told, that's our case, that we're calculating that must be what the Brisa was referring to, and that's exactly our scenario that we're interested in knowing about. And the Gemara says, what do you see as the ruling? The ruling is, you have to be Mazmen. The Yamret Ein Muktza Lama Luhazmana. Right? So you see that this must show that Yesh Muktza, because otherwise why do we have to make a declaration? The Gemara says, well, I don't get it. So what does the declaration accomplish? Ve'alama Yesh Muktza Ksen Ki Yasmin Luhumayevi. Well, that doesn't explain anything, because if you're going to hold Yesh Muktza, then your Hazmana shouldn't have been effective either. What in the world is the Hazmana anyway? What effect does that have? When is Muktza ever going to depend upon your declaration? The Gemara says, no, there are some cases where your expression of intent matters for Muktza. Lo tzricha d'ichazu v'lo ichazu. In what sense? They're only partially nifsal. Ika inshi d'achli v'ika inshi d'lo achli. It's at a stage where it's mostly ro'i l'achila, but not fully necessarily, and then you're up to a stage where it's actually subjective. If azmin galidaiti, that it's kosher. If lo azmin, lo galidaiti. And that's what's going on. What's going on is that your hazmana is a statement of your preference about whether you would eat these things or not. And that's what it means. And therefore, there's no evidence one way or the other about muktzah l'chatzi ha-Shabbos from this source.
When the fermentation of grapes and raisin takes more than one day. So maybe, going back to like a couple of weeks before?
No.
It's something to dry out. It doesn't take a day for it to dry out.
I don't know what to tell you. It might take a day if you're in the hot weather, in the sun, and maybe they've hooked up some kind of parabolic mirror that speeds up. I don't know.
It came to on Friday that you take grapes on Friday, and for the dry out of the Shabbos, it's going to become raisins.
Yeah.